Hello and welcome to another episode of the Full Force Weekly, brought to you by GeneralsJoe'sReborn.com with me as your host, Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. For today's episode, I'm joined by the awesome Patrick Not Picard Stewart. In this regular video series, we round up all the week's news in the world of G.I. Joe. What is it, Pat?
It's a Full Force Weekly.
Yes, it is. Merry morning. What? Happy Saturday. Hope everyone is having a good time. Welcome to the Full Force Weekly with me, Diagnostic 80, and you over there, Not Picard. How's it going, buddy? How is things?
Busy week, but there's a toy show going on not too far from me after this, so I'm going to be heading over to that. Sounds like there's some emergency near you. Is that right?
Getting sirens, guys. The Full Force Weekly is on. Quick, put all the sirens on in the vicinity. What toy show is it, Pat, did you say?
The Butler Area Toy Show.
Oh, nice. Are you going?
I think I will, yeah. After this is done, it's, you know, starts in maybe an hour, so that, you know.
So you want to, basically what you're saying is, Chris, get on with it. We're going to do a short one. I need to get to a toy show.
No, I've never been there before. So it's, you know, I'm just going to go casual, not be there, you know, waiting in line when it starts. I'll just, you know, I'll be there at some point during the day.
You're not going to be lining up for the exclusives.
Right.
Awesome, man. Well, I hope you have a good time. But before that, obviously, we've got to get through what's been an absolutely chock full week of G.I. Joe news, and all happened yesterday as well, which was great. Thanks very much when I'm trying to make all the videos for the Bloomin' Show. Thanks to all of our viewers and listeners, everyone getting comments in. Great to have you all on board again. Hope you're all having a good weekend so far. It's only kind of just started, but hopefully this can be the catalyst for a good one. We will see, I guess. Lots of news then, Pat, to talk about. But we'll start off with, I wouldn't say like the most minor news, but certainly an interesting bit of news that popped up yesterday. So thanks for that.
The second G.I. Joe classified young adult novel from Kelly Scovran has been known about for a little while now. We had the reveal of the title, Revenge of the Ninja, and the story blurb last year, and now it finally has a brand new cover from artist Stephanie Han. Once again, Snake Eyes makes his way on there like he did on book one, of course, and we also get Storm Shadow added for a bit of conflict. The kids return with Scarlet in her martial arts gi front and centre, and Stan and Julian are behind her. I'm looking forward to seeing where book 2 takes us after what was a very engaging first instalment to the series. You can pre-order the book on Amazon for $14.99, and you can expect that on July the 11th, barring any unfortunate delays this time around.
Yes, so book 2, Revenge of the Ninja. Now, see, I'm all excited about this because I know you don't give a crap, Pat, but I'm really excited about this because the first book I really enjoyed. So I'm kind of excited to get this one in and see where it goes and everything. So yeah, that it's been a lot of fun. And also like one of those things where it doesn't really coincide with anything that's going on in the G.I. Joe universe. It's its own thing. To a degree. I don't even think you could really say it's in line with Classified, technically. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's actually what I was just about to ask you, because I know that you've read the first one and you probably have an impression of where this one will be going if, you know, the changing gears in the Classified toy line, because it seemed like the first one was almost necessary to tell us what the world was about those versions of the characters. But now that it's kind of transitioned into what we're already familiar with, you know, what's in here that is going to be unique or what can this shine a light on? What's this going to be about?
No, it's a really good point. And I think it's definitely, because obviously there were loads of delays. Sorry, before we go on, I'll remember the delays part in my head on that for a second. But thank you, me. For another super chat. Rise and shine, cheese bags. Exactly. You better rise and shine. Yeah, again, thanks for all the comments, guys. Really appreciate it. I will get to all of them. Oh, Robert H has asked a question quickly. What's with Action Force blanket hanging like a banner? That's just my my Kraken blanket in the background, courtesy of the good folks at Roma Collectibles, who got that for Kate and I for our anniversary, which was very nice of them. So shout out to them. That's the answer, Robert H. I just thought it'd be nice in the background. Anyway, coming back to this book, yes, there were a lot of delays on that first one. And I think one of the major delays for it was the fact that Classified was kind of changing and merging into something else. Plus the movie was like dropping. So there was all these different things that were kind of happening in and around the Classified line that affected, I think, where this book was going. And I think the one major delay was the fact they probably had to do a lot of rewrites on it, or Kelly Scovran had to do a lot of rewrites on it. So it's interesting now that it kind of exists in a very like interesting, unique position. Even though it's got the Classified kind of banner to it, I've got a feeling that's really just so that they can utilize some of the designs more than anything now. Obviously you've got like a Classified-esque Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow on the cover, haven't we, there? Like, and even the Storm Shadow, it was technically the Storm Shadow from the website and Operation Blackout and so on and so forth.
Is that what that is in the cover? Because honestly, I'm looking at that Snake Eyes and I'm getting more of a Retaliation feel from him.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's effectively where they went with the design, wasn't it? The kind of head sculpt went in that direction. So it ended up looking, you know, with the chin strap and the kind of vents on the nose and everything. So
yeah, but even still, the visor just looks like it's a little more in line with Retaliation than it is the somewhat larger visor on the Classified figure.
It might have been I'll tell you what it does remind me of, actually, Pat. It reminds me of the... Yeah, I suppose you're right. It is kind of a bit Retaliation, that visor. But it's got a little bit of the movie in it as well, because the movie one was a bit thinner. And I wonder if that had something to do with it. Stephanie Hans did the artwork for this one. It was Phil Noto who did the first book, and I just assumed it was Phil Noto again. And then I was informed by David Allen, thank you, David, that this was actually Stephanie Hans that did this one. So thank you for that information. And also, it meant I had to re-record the video because I'm an idiot. But anyway, yes. So I know what you're saying, though. Like, there's definitely, because there's been that change, where does this go? What does it mean? And I just see it as like a nice little separate, unique thing, standout thing. So yeah, I don't really, you know, because there's no series. I don't feel like there's a major crossover into the toys necessarily, especially when you look at the stories they've told on live streams and the stories in like things like the you know, the Cobra Island story and stuff like that. There's definitely a bit of a disconnect there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but in a lot of ways, didn't that disconnect exist from the beginning of the G.I. Joe 3¾ line? Because
a
lot of times the file cards would have information that you never really saw in the comic book or the cartoon. And the cartoon and comic book universe are obviously very different from one another.
Yeah.
So there, we kind of were just accustomed to that. This is the theme of G.I. Joe, and there's going to be several different universes that don't cross over or quite follow the same path.
It's so funny, isn't it, that when you think back, I wonder if there was much thought put into that back in the day. Like, I wonder if they were like, we kind of want it to be cohesive, or if they just went, we don't care, or we just, you know, like, I wonder what the thought process was to have such wildly different, well, three wildly different universes going on with comics, cartoons, and you're right, file cards, which did loads to kind of give you loads more character development, but you never really saw that exercised in other things.
And obviously, you know, Larry writing the file cards and writing the comic book kind of made those match up toward the beginning. But toward the end, there were some characters that had files written that they just don't sound like he was writing them there toward the end.
Yeah, you wonder if there was like someone else was doing that, and then obviously he was still doing the comic. So
that's where, in some ways, the file cards and some of the stuff on the toy packaging diverged a little bit. It isn't like we ever got you know, mega monsters, as I recall in the comic.
Yeah. Matthew says he looks more resolute. There's actually, yeah, 100%. He's got that resolute vibe. Definitely.
And I'm not sure about Storm Shadow's mask. Like, that doesn't quite look exactly like any Storm Shadow to me. It kind of has that separate piece, maybe from Retaliation, but that's not it. Not with those specific lines going down around the outside.
I wonder what reference Stephanie was using for that one. That would be quite interesting to know. I have to try and speak to her and see what she says. Grant has said, how big of a role did Snake Eyes and Scarlet play in the first book? Pretty big, actually, Grant. Scarlet is a main character, and so, effectively so is Snake Eyes. But the main character is Stan, who moves to Springfield with his mom, who gets a job at this DeCobre Industries tech giant. Obviously, you know where that's going. And he basically falls in with this little group of, you know, this little dojo, and he gets friendly with Scarlet and Julian. He's in the background as well there. And they end up kind of... Scarlet's also friends with this really amazing kid who's very quiet, doesn't say anything very... I think he does talk, but he doesn't talk very often. So that's obviously Snake Eyes. But yeah, they do play major roles in the book. It's actually quite interesting. Read it. It's worth it, honestly. Robert H says they drew the visor like something he can actually see out of. Yeah, totally. I'm just trying to get to as many. Yeah, okay, cool. There we go. Next, then, Pat. So that's Classified. That's G.I. Joe Classified Book 2, Revenge of the Ninja by Kelly Scovran. I think it's out on July the 11th, I think I said in the video. July the 11th, barring any major delays or anything. And the link in the description for the actual Amazon pre-order right now, if you want to go grab it. Anyway, I'll be getting those for Pat for his birthday. Just when is your birthday, Pat?
Oh, it was November.
Yeah, but don't worry, it comes around again.
Yeah.
or are you saying that was the last one?
I hope not.
Yeah, you were... What day in November?
Oh, I'm not going to say all that.
Okay, can you just text me?
It's around.
Okay.
It's about the middle of November.
Okay, good. I don't want to
focus on it too much.
You just don't want people to send you presents, do you? Okay, fine. That's not a problem. On to the next G.I. Joe news item, then. And that is in another thing that broke yesterday at the last minute that made me have to work twice as hard as I usually do.
A brand new pre-order is leaked showing what was surely a reveal for Renegade Game Studios' Renegade Con Virtual coming next month. The new deck-building game is a G.I. Joe Transformers crossover called New Alliances and pits the Joes and Autobots against Cobra and the Decepticons, as you would expect. Game nerds dropped the pre-order, including an image of the box, and it looks pretty cool. I imagine we will see an official reveal and more details about the actual game, including artwork and so on, for Renegade Con Virtual in February.
Yes. So this was a bit of a surprise. Shout out to Anything Joes, by the way, on this one, because they posted about this like a couple of hours before I did, because I was obviously working on all of this stuff to go out for the next day. And then I scroll Facebook every now and again just to make sure I'm not missing anything. And lo and behold, they posted this random out of nowhere pre-order drop from Game Nerds. So effectively, this looks like one of those situations where a retailer has kind of jumped the gun a little bit, and it's a, you know, this was probably going to be revealed and gone into a bit more detail during Con Virtual. Although I do vaguely remember them talking about a crossover, and I can't remember if that was one of those things that we should have known or shouldn't have known. So I'm not going to go into detail of where that and when where that was, but I'm pretty confident something was mentioned that there was going to be a Joe Transformers sort of crossover. Or it could have been one of those things where I've seen online chat about it as an idea that they should probably do because of the two brands at Renegade Game Studios.
Yeah, I don't think that I had heard anything about this. This was news to me. I do find it interesting that it looks like the Transformers are some of the evergreen designs, I think.
Yeah, I think they are. And also Old Snake's in there as well. Which is great, isn't it? Lovely little kind of homage to effectively a character that did show up in the Transformers cartoon to a degree. Wasn't called Old Snake in that episode, though, was he? But he was. It was.
Well, he wasn't called Cobra Commander.
That was it. Sorry, yeah, my bad. I'm an idiot.
He was Old Snake. In the episode Only Human.
Yeah. So, like, that was awesome. So, and again, a great little homage on the box there, and it kind of makes a lot of sense to have him in that form for this kind of crossover as well, in a cool way. Have you touched this in any way, shape, or form yet, Pat? The Renegade Game Studio stuff. I know we were talking last time about wanting to try out the AR, wanting to try out the game stuff.
I did buy, I think, the deck building game, the first set that they released that had the exclusive with Dawn.
Yes.
I bought that, but I don't really have anybody to play it with. So
yeah, it's tough.
That's my trouble.
We need to get some sort of. Actually, we talked about this last time. We were going to go on a mini road trip to that Toys R Us place, weren't we? The main Toys R Us in kind of between us.
Yeah, and but then, even time to play it here would be difficult. So I don't know where. It's a matter of time and people. I don't have those things.
Yeah, we need time and we need
time
people.
With people.
For some of the people in the comments, this is, yes, it's a deck building game. So it's the card based game and it's an expansion as well. So, and it's also, it does say at the bottom, a Transformers crossover product. So I imagine there's going to be something that the Transformers like are going to be, because this is a G.I. Joe deck building game, right? So I imagine there's going to be a Transformers deck building game that might have a crossover with G.I. Joe as well. That I don't know what the, you know, again, another expansion or something. But yeah, really kind of interested to see this, because I guess it's going to be an official reveal at Convirtual. We're going to see more artwork for it. We're going to get explained about the game itself and all that kind of stuff. So February the 3rd and 4th, not too far away, actually. It's only a couple of weeks away, isn't it? My goodness.
Yeah. This is way of having a crossover, though. I'm curious if they have anything. Obviously, Transformers is the number one thing to cross over with G.I. Joe, but I wonder if they would consider doing any of the other Hasbro brands.
Power Rangers?
I didn't even think about that. My mind goes back to the classic 80s Hasbro stuff. So,
yeah,
but I mean, they outright own Power Rangers, so I don't think that would go over that great, though.
I don't know, Power Rangers and Ninjas? I think it might happen at some point, and then it will be one of those things where everyone complains about it, and we only get like a little mini series, and then we never hear of it again, something along those lines.
Yeah, it just feels like it's a little bit two different generations, and I don't know if it's... I don't know. Like, I could see Power Rangers and Transformers. The Power Rangers and G.I. Joe, yeah. Not as much.
I know, I could see Version 4 Snake Eyes and the Power Rangers.
If that's what you want.
And version 3, it'll be like one of those things where they go into a dimension and get all the different versions of Snake Eyes together. That would be, yeah, I've already written it, it's done. New Alliances, the G.I. Joe deck building game, Transformers crossover, and it looks like you can get it for pre-order now. You can pre-order it from Game Nerds and probably a few other places, I'd imagine. You might be able to. Link is in the description. I haven't checked very recently. Who knows? Renegade Games Studios might have said, could you maybe take that down before we do our official reveal? Oh, everyone in the comments is saying Mask, Pat. Would you like a Mask deck building game crossover?
That would be amazing. That would be a really good crossover. I've always viewed if G.I. Joe is... you know, based on military stuff, I see Mask is based on spy stuff.
Yeah.
So that's the big difference that I see between those two brands, but they go hand in hand so well. Yeah, I think that would be really cool. But Mask, and it would force them to do some new designs maybe on Mask.
Yes, definitely. Mask is more like a freelance scenario, isn't it? It's like they're doing stuff. Is it legal? Not sure.
Right.
They're fighting bad guys, but is it legal? I don't know. We haven't, this it's a gray area, but Matt Tracker can afford to make it legal, so there you go. Robert H says, is that Hiss Megatron and Viper on the side? Yes, it bloody well is. Good spot on Hiss Megatron, first and foremost. Secondly, Robert H, Viper Is that the one at the top, or is that Shockwave, Pat?
Yeah.
It does look a little bit like Viper, doesn't it? You know, the Rattler crossover.
On the side?
Top left. On top the side left. Of the box.
Oh. I don't know. Maybe.
It could be Rob H. That's a good shout, but I don't know. I think it's Shockwave. I could be wrong, and that could very well be Viper.
It looks like somebody with a visor, unless we're looking at a different character. Top left, like next to the G? Is that what you're looking at?
No, top left on the side of the box.
On the side.
Yeah. On the left-hand side.
I thought that was like a hydrofoil and a wetsuit. Is that not wetsuit?
I can't. I need to zoom in on this. Sorry, guys. I'm going to do a zoom in. I probably don't have the image. Yes, I do have the image on my phone. Perfect. Oh, yeah. No. It's actually, yeah, Pat is right. It's wetsuit looking at what looks to be the Cobra sub. I don't think it's the hydrofoil, but it's definitely got like some sort of Cobra water-based either base. Or...
I think that's the hydrofoil. That's definitely the hydrofoil. Like, it's pointed left.
Oh, and no, you're right. Sorry, I'm looking at the whole thing rather than just an element of it. Yeah, you're right. There's a hydrofoil in front of what looks like a water-based base for Cobra. So that's what that is. Thank you very much for working that one out, guys, and Pat. And yeah, in fact, Baroness is actually on the back of Megatron as well.
Oh,
and it's different artwork too. So that is like specifically new artwork, which is pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I wonder, we should have flipped the top over to figure out what was on there before we started too.
I should have done lots of things. I should have also looked at the front of it. I don't know who that is, but that looks pretty cool. I imagine we're going to see things like Hound as the Vamp. I think we'll see, you know, these kind of deck building games just draw in all of the crossovers that have ever been. For the most part, and kind of, you know, organize them into something else. So yeah, great. Thanks, Robert H, for forcing us to look at that a bit closer, and thanks, Pat, for pointing out very obvious things that I couldn't see. So yes, good eyes. Okay, well, that's Renegade Game Studios news. February 3rd and 4th, Virtual Con Virtual. That we'll probably be seeing this and many other new products they have for G.I. Joe. I'm excited about that. Actually, I really do like those shows. Really, they think they put on a really good, you know, kind of presentation for it all. So, yeah, I'm into seeing what else we've got coming, even though I don't have any bloody time or humans to bloody play them with, like Pat. Anyway, next up then, buddy, a little bit of merch madness going on again.
It was a busy week for G.I. Joe merch drops. Both Diamond Select Toys and Icon Heroes added to their own lineups with new Joe-related products. Diamond Select Toys revealed their brand new Profit Director Destro bust, which is a redeco of their previous Destro bust that we saw last year. The half-scale, 10-inch statue is limited to only 1,000 pieces. This Legends in 3D bust comes in a full-colour box with a numbered certificate of authenticity. Designed by Joe Allard, sculpted by Jorge Santos Souza, it will be shipping in the fall of this year and will cost you $175. Pre-orders opened yesterday. Today, link in the description if you want one. Icon Heroes also decided to reveal their new Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow Polystone bobbleheads. Each figure stands atop a diorama base that can connect together to create a bigger dio. They are 8 inches in height and will cost you $35 each. Shipping in the third quarter of 2023, link in the description if they tickle your fancy parts.
Do they tickle your fancy parts?
No.
Okay, well, let's start with Destro first, and we'll get to the bobbleheads in a second, because I know you've got some strong opinions on these, Pat.
Not strong opinions, just tired opinions.
Well, yeah, you know, strongly meh. Destro, PDD, what are your thoughts on this one? I mean, probably expected, would you say?
Well, yeah, at this point, it's starting to feel easy to turn Destro into Pimp Daddy Destro, which is what I'm always going to call him, not Profit Director Destro. I don't know. This sculpt of him is not one of the ones that I absolutely love, because I always like a Destro with a a face that looks like it's an iron mask that he's wearing, rather than looking like he's has a face made out of metal, which is a little weird, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of like when it's this is kind of like trying to make the Sunbow thing a real thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
more than like what it really would be effectively, because it the mask would have to be that all the time. It would have to be that face, that shape, and
he'd have to have his neck slightly tilted at all times.
Didn't even think about that. It's like, I took the helmet off, but now I can't move my head because I've been wearing it for so many years. But yeah, it's pretty much a go-to now, isn't it, for a Destro repaint. And in fact, that Diamond Select Toys have done this already with Destro statues in recent, you know, recent times. So
I like that one. That's the one where he's like
in the sewer.
Like maybe a sewer.
Yeah.
I like that one a lot. Which, you know, is silly of me because it also doesn't have like a man in the iron mask kind of look. But this being a larger thing that's like a close-up of the face in order to see the facial detail rather than just being an action pose that, I don't know, this one just, it doesn't really work for me.
Doesn't tickle your fancy parts, you were going to say then, didn't
you? No fancy parts have been tickled.
I can rectify that. Next. We have the bobbleheads. Now, this is one of those things, isn't it, where you kind of go, is it necessary?
Yeah, I don't know how many times I've already said on here, it's a character with a big head for a licensed item.
We need to get a list, don't we, of all the massive headed figures that have been made.
Yeah. I mean, if it's something that makes somebody happy, that's fine. And I always look at a lot of these things that are licensed that maybe not everybody's buying. We talked about this before, especially with Snake Eyes.
Yeah.
That if you're character building, it's really interesting to think of all the different brands that have come out with a Snake Eyes and how cool that would look on a shelf to see all of these together. But
yeah. At
some point, your shelf's going to start to be dominated by figures that have just giant heads, and that's going to be really tiring.
Imagine the scale lineup that they brought out, I can't remember, it was like a Leonardo History of Leonardo figures for the Turtles a while back, and it was a massive box set. And it, yeah, but imagine if they did that for Snake Eyes, it would have to be like the length of the street you live on. It would be unreal. So, but yeah, I think you're right in that sense. I think obviously as a specific character collector, this probably is something that you might go, oh, cool, and then get it. But I don't see the kind of, I don't know, I feel like bobbleheads, and this is going to sound maybe like a little bit, I don't know if they're dated or not, because obviously, like you said, there's so many figures out there that they keep churning out, like Funko and... all those other different things with like bigger heads and more exaggerated, features. But I wonder, like, when I hear bobbleheads, I just think either there's like a definite, like, it's going back to, it's taking you back to that nostalgia point when they were really big, if you know what I mean.
But yeah, that seems like,
but then it gets to the point where, right? but then it gets to the point where, is it played out? Do you know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, and it feels like there's a timer. Like, we could start a timer. Okay, it's now January 2023. How long before we see another bobblehead? Actually, I'm going to try to keep track of that. We've seen one in January. When is the next time this year that we will see new G.I. Joe bobbleheads, or will they wait till next year?
Also, it's going to be Destro and Cobra Commander, or it's going to be Duke and Scarlet, or it's going to be Baroness.
So maybe it's unfair of me to only count bobbleheads, but yeah, I don't know. I'm a little tired of the big head toys.
You're tired of the big head toys. I'm tired of, and I'm not, this is the thing, I'm not tired of seeing Snake Eyes or Storm Shadow, honestly, really. I'm not like tired. I'm not like, I don't kind of see it and go, oh, God, good sir. I'm like, I don't mind, because I'm not the target audience a lot of the time, right?
Right.
But when it's like the starting of a line, And I thought it was really good when Mezco came out of the gates with something different, and 3-0 did a Roadblock and a Destro and all that kind of, you know, like it was like trying to do, yeah, we're going to do the core characters, but we're going to start a different end of the core character spectrum. And like that is kind of, I think they have, people have to do that sometimes. But then what appeared to be the case was they had to quickly get Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow out, because they're the ones that they're always the characters, man, that sell the big numbers. So it's one of those things where you're in this catch 22 of like, we have to get through the core character hump, but companies can't afford not to.
Yeah. But that's where I start thinking of those character collectors, because I doubt anybody is buying this because they've never owned a Snake Eyes before.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody would be gifted it because, you know, it's more of a boutique item. Somebody may be shopping for somebody else and go, oh, this is a high-end kind of thing that's not just something you walk into Target and buy. So-and-so probably doesn't have this, and they buy this. And that's fine. But I have to think that, you know, if you're getting this, you probably have a bunch of Snake Eyes or Storm Shadow things, or you intend to get a bunch of them. And it's going to look a lot like other things.
Imagine, Pat, a fan who hasn't got one single Snake Eyes item, figure or whatever. Imagine that. Is it even possible? I don't think it's possible as a G.I. Joe fan to not have something Snake Eyes related.
Maybe if you're just rediscovering it, you know, maybe if you had it as a kid and you still somehow have missed out on the 25th anniversary, missed out on the launch of Classified, you know, missed out on the 2000s reissues and the new figures that were coming then. And you just think, well, maybe I'll get back into that. I don't know. Who knows?
Also, I've got to give props to the team that did these for creating two separate figures that lock together on a kind of connected diorama. That is like, you know, that's going to force a lot of people, if they are getting one or these, to get both of them. So yeah. Good work on that. And kind of, again, nice little cute idea to kind of have them like together. But I would also say that in terms of like the poses they're in, like, it's not like, you know, they could have made something crazy dynamic as well, couldn't they? And they've kind of gone with a very, like, I don't know, very safe stance for both of them.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. Bobbleheads sometimes even just have that, you know, straight body look to them. I think that I even have a Pimp Daddy Destro bobblehead that is like that, I think.
You're the one that keeps getting all the PDD stuff.
No, actually at the time, you know, there wasn't much PDD stuff out. So it was fun that it was getting a nod at the time. That was a fun toy that somebody actually gifted to me.
Payne's Toy Sample says they look like they're having a civil discussion. Yeah, they do. They've had their fight, and now they're just talking about, you know, what they did, what's been going on for the past couple of months between them. Yeah, I like that, Payne. Brilliant. Well, that's the merch drops. I say that's the merch drops. Obviously, there's been more technically merchandise, but when I say merch, I kind of mean peripheral merchandise. I don't mean like action figure lines and so on and so forth. So that leads us into, I suppose, a bit more merch, but in this case, it's Super 7.
Super 7 dropped official orders, product images, and details for their fifth wave of G.I. Joe reaction figures on Tuesday. They revealed the wave a few weeks ago after the listings leaked way back in October of last year, and then officially opened orders for the new figures with more product images and details. We also got a ton of new info for the wave, including the fact that Duke and Snake Eyes both come with glow-in-the-dark accessories, a trident for Snakes, and a lightsaber for Duke Skywalker. Snake Eyes also comes with the net, which looked like it was missing on the first image, and we should also point out that the troop builders don't have any variants. They look like the only available figures for the Camo Trooper and MP so far, and I don't expect there to be any new additions as of right now, but you could see some more in the future waves. We will have to see how that progresses. The main thing we were excited about at the Full Force was Red Laser. They even managed to drop Red Shadows in the product blurb, and Baron Ironblood, the Laser Exterminator, and the classic Red Shadows logo on the file card. I desperately hope they do a Baron Ironblood at some point. That would be incredible. I even enjoyed the Sunbow recolor of Cobra Commander on the file card as well. Lovely touch. The other big reveal was that of the latest Target exclusive figure, the Ninja Viper, a teal redeco of Storm Shadow, and a figure that continues the theme of different coloured ninjas for the Target stores. He appeared on the back of the card's cross sell and will no doubt be revealed later this or even next week with more product images, etc. Keep an eye out for that. You can order these figures direct from Super7.com, link in the description. Make sure you buy 20 Red Lasers just so they get the point.
Yes, make sure you do that. So a couple of things to throw in here. One, I did mention in the video, I just couldn't be bothered to change it. I'm sorry, guys. But the actual Red Lasers, the Red Shadows text has been actually changed on the blurb. And I believe it's just based on the trademark scenario with Skeletron. It's nothing too crazy, but I know they've changed it to the enemy on that blurb. So there you go.
That's on the actual on package or on the
blurb? No, just on the product description online. That's what it was. Again, like I've got a feeling they probably just weren't aware that that was the case, and
yeah,
they've changed it. No harm done. What I will say though is I had an interview with Brian Flynn yesterday. It should have been on Tuesday, but he had to reschedule. Guys, it's an absolute doozy. Loads of information in there, so I'm not gonna reveal too much now, because I kind of want you to enjoy that when the actual interview happens or gets edited, I should say. The interview has happened, and we talked about, obviously, we talked about Red Laser, we talk about all the different aspects of this wave, and there's some really, really good stuff that comes out of that. Including loads of stuff I have to edit out. Yeah, I know. Things I have to edit out because, well, that's all I can say. But it's going to be a beauty, and we'll hopefully have that for you as soon as I can get it edited. Obviously, I've only just done it yesterday, so today I'll probably edit it a little bit. Tomorrow, maybe Monday it can come out. We'll see. But yeah, it's going to be a good one for you guys to check out. Lots of cool stuff coming for Super 7, I will say that. Now, this wave, though, Pat, let's talk about this from the details that we have currently before the Brian Flynn interview pops up. Great to see that Snake Eyes comes with his neck, because we spoke about that last week, didn't we, that we thought that he might not. So that's a good thing straight off the bat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't imagine how they would have made a net glow in the dark. Like, I almost want the accessories to glow.
Good point.
That he's come with, but I'm just glad that he has it, because it really didn't look like he had it in those pictures. I think those pictures before were renders, and I don't think that they rendered a net.
Yeah,
probably what it was.
Oh, 100%, definitely. By the way, his trident does glow in the dark, which is great.
Okay.
And Duke Skywalker's lightsaber glows in the dark as well, so that's awesome. Yeah, and again, like. I'm really glad that they threw the net in, because yeah, that was one of those things I was thinking, it's on the card art, it's pretty synonymous with that particular scene. It's not like he's just holding a trident, so yeah, that's really cool they threw that in there as well. Raven is another great addition to this one, and kind of seeing the product images, I think this is my favorite wave, honestly.
And I think there's that's a good wave to pick as your favorite wave. There's definitely some other characters that I like better than some entries in here, but overall, this is really a solid wave, and I have to say that I really like the fact that they didn't go crazy with the army builders, because the fact that the reaction stuff has felt so expensive per figure, and then the army builders on top of that, just makes it feel unattainable. And it really caused me, my interest in a lot of it, to deflate, to be quite honest.
Yeah, yeah.
But I pre-ordered Red Laser for sure. I don't want to miss out on that figure. If I see one in the store, like if these show up at Target, which I assume they will, probably just buy one. And so I may end up with two Red Lasers.
Something I can say, which won't be in the interview because of the way that it just played out, unfortunately. But the MP and the camo Cobra Trooper, they're the only figures, that, at least for this particular moment in time, that you'll see of those army builders. So if you want to army build those particular figures, you can, but it's not going to have a ton of variants attached to each one.
Isn't that what you said in the video that we just watched?
No, I said like unlikely. Like I was, it was my personal opinion thrown in there as to
I wasn't sure if it was confirmed or not.
Okay. No, the confirmation is that those are the only two figures as of right now.
So,
so there won't be any, there aren't any variants of that particular MP, and there aren't any variants of that Cobra Trooper.
Okay. Do you think that in the future we may see these again? Do you think that, because one of the things I wondered is, are they just going to not do the variants now, and then maybe at some point, you know, boost another wave or change things up or reissue things and change them a little bit and re-release them?
As far as I know, it was a last minute decision on the MP and the Cobra Trooper. So it might be the case where, you know, they have an idea to maybe release some in the future possibly. But again, I don't know that information. I don't know that level of detail. If I was to kind of make a guess, I would say we might see them in the future, but, you know, like sprinkled in here and there. But I don't think we're going to get those massive like waves of variants necessarily all the time. I think they'll probably just wind it back to like less amounts and just have like maybe skin tone variations or
things. Yeah.
Yeah, which makes more sense, I think. If you just have the variants that have skin tone variations and you can mix and match the weapons, do you know what I mean? Like you don't really need to have, you know, the way they were doing it just seemed very excessive.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Some of the ones where there was just only three, that felt a little more attainable, but even still, it was... I like the fact that they're doing this instead. And I like the... I'm kind of surprised that the Tomax and Zaymont, that we're not seeing those in some special packaging, because Super 7, for their reaction stuff, has really done some wild packaging on some of the other toy lines. And seeing Tomax and Zaymont, you know, just about to come out in some standard cards is a little bit surprising to me.
I bet they've got something up their sleeve for those two, though, like at some other point in the future. Again, I don't know. Sorry, I should state that is, again, that's speculative opinion on my part. But I would expect to see that made, because it's a good way for them to maximize the molds. Maybe do them in like crimson, as we said before. That's right. An option, isn't it? So there's an option to do things like that, I guess.
I like the Ninja Viper, that we're getting one of those.
I know. How cool is that? And I know a certain Aaron Dietrich that will be very happy about a new opportunity to collect teal ninjas, which is pretty dope. Yeah, that was an awesome addition. And like I said, there's obviously a lot more that in that interview that, you know, hopefully I can get out soon, so you guys aren't waiting too much. But yeah, there's some cool bits of knowledge and information and updates on other things as well. So you'll get everything you need, hopefully, in that particular interview. And whatever is missing, shall I say, like, for example, the variant, not having as many variants for the particular action army builders, I'll just put out in a post as well, so you guys can have all the information at hand. But anyway, that is Super 7. Again, super excited for Red Laser as well. Like, that is so cool that that's happening, and cannot wait to see that on pegs, because it's in the main wave, Pat. How dope is that?
Yeah, that is true. It's not even an exclusive, so it should make it a little more attainable. And I could see people buying multiples of him too. I think that's the best figure they've done so far.
Yeah, big time. Big time. Aaron says the Ninja Viper was originally a mail away, correct? I think that's how I got him as a kid. Yes.
Yeah.
I'd never mailed away for a kid, but I definitely mailed away for a Ninja Viper. I'm just kidding, I didn't. Because we didn't have the Ninja. I don't think we had the Ninja Viper in the UK. I don't think we had it. No, I don't think we did.
I was a kid when that figure was offered. And I got one really, really early on.
I thought that the Red Laser were essentially the Cobra Troopers. No, Grant. Red Shadows are technically not Cobra Troopers either, are they? I see what you mean. Red Laser was an army builder, effectively. But no, he was technically a standalone character, repaint of Cobra Commander, and utilized with the Laser Exterminator. Or what was it, Pat, in your language?
The Howl, the Red Howl.
The Red Howl. Amazing. But yeah. And there's loads more detail they go into with Red Laser in the comics as well. Some of it can be a little problematic as well in the current climate, especially the way Baron Ironblood talks to him. But that's by the by. Anyway, you can check out some of our old, what were they called? Disorder of Battle episodes, myself and Brian. We haven't done a Disorder of Battle for so long, and we still need to finish a comic in it, because we finished at part one. We'll try and get to that at some point in the future, definitely. Anyway, that's it for the Super 7 segment. Like I said, keep it locked for that Brian Flynn interview. I think you'll enjoy it. But next up, Pat, we have a little bit of kind of like Transformers G.I. Joe collaborative rumor news.
Make sure to approach this one very carefully, but according to the Sarge himself, Hasbro are currently working on a new Transformers G.I. Joe collaborative Triple T with the Sergeant Slaughter O-ring figure. The Sarge let the news slip at a recent convention, so in terms of officially confirmed, we are a little ways off that right now, so this has to be treated as a rumour, but either way, this is pretty awesome news. This isn't the first time that the Sarge has revealed some inside info prior to official reveals, so it could very well happen for sure. There were no other details regarding what Transformer the Triple T converts into, so this one could be very early in development. I would personally love them to do Sergeant Cup, for obvious reasons, as well as the fact that he is a similar shape in vehicle mode. Either him or Ironhide might work well, just as grizzled military types, and both being fairly well-known characters. The collaborative line has been fun so far, and a Triple T would be so welcome, as well as a reissued O-ring Sarge. Like I said, nothing is confirmed as yet, but we will be keeping a close eye on this, and if anything else develops, we will let you know.
Absolutely. So yeah, this is, again, more a rumor than anything else. No official confirmation, technically. So, you know, that's where we're kind of sitting on it, obviously. I've seen, like, reports from this that I've obviously just seen, like, headlines from, you know, I've just read the headline and then done an article about it. That then say, like, this is the next one coming. And it's like, that is not what is being said here. What's being said here is this is in the works. And that could be anywhere from in early development stages to being like well in production. If it was well into production, I imagine there'd be a little bit more solid information knocking about somewhere. So I would assume we are talking very early on in the development going on here. Especially the way that we've heard reports of how it was explained by the Sarge at that convention. So just to kind of like start with that, this isn't one of those things where it's like, you know, oh, this is definitely happening, but there's a high likelihood it could. So that's all we're saying about this. But Pat, with that said and out of the way, does this excite you as a proposition?
You know, like, you're basically asking me, do you like chocolate and peanut butter together, maybe, Patrick? Is that good? Is that a good thing? Yes. Yeah, I'm a huge G.I. Joe fan, but also a huge Transformers fan. So, yes.
I mean more so the Sarge and the Triple T would be introduced into the line.
The thing that I think is that they're, like, we heard about... Sarge going to Rhode Island to talk to Hasbro so long before there was any sort of reveal of
he's done it so many times, hasn't he? He said he didn't reveal that the Funko figures were coming. He revealed on a live stream kind of thing. You're right. He gave away the news that he'd met representatives at Hasbro. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so it's given how long there has been, it feels like he sometimes mentions stuff early in development. So I'm thinking that if this happens, yes, I do love chocolate and peanut butter, thank you. But if this happens, I don't expect it this year. And I would imagine it's contingent upon, future Transformers G.I. Joe collaboratives still being successful. This thing could be something that we just have on a list, a sad list eventually of things
Yeah.
that we tried to get. But
Look at what you could have had.
yeah, but strike while you can as far as the license for Sarge Hasbro, because it seems like sometimes there's just a window to get those things done, and
Yep.
there's so many complications with Sarge in particular that if this is going to happen, this is not something that I ever would have really imagined could have.
I do know from like if we go way back, there was a special. I think this is. I think a lot of people know this anyway. But the Marauders 7-pack that had like the modern era 4-inch
Yeah, yeah.
pack. Sergeant Slot was supposed to be in that particular set, but there was an issue with timing and having the opportunity to utilize him.
Right.
And they run out of time, unfortunately, on that one. So, yeah, you're right. There is a timing issue in getting the Sarge when you can. So, yeah, I think the more they do makes sense for them because it's going to be an instant hit, isn't it? I mean, like you say, he covers multiple, fandoms and seems to be one of those like that everybody seems to really want to get the Sarge.
Well, yeah, I mean, Sarge himself is a crossover already. So having Sarge in a crossover set with a Transformer, I mean, what could the Transformer be that it would be a crossover as well? Like maybe it transforms into a Power Rangers or something.
My Little Pony transforms into a My Little Pony.
Right.
Done. Sorted. In with that said, joking aside on that one, who
Yeah,
could you
that's just joking.
see as a transformer for
I
this
think
movie?
that as far as the profile of the vehicle goes, Cup would be an interesting one, especially because of the pairing of those two characters would be they would be a neat pairing in a story situation. But that's also probably why Ironhide makes sense, is that I could Grumpy Ironhide and No Nonsense Sarge, together. Or maybe you just have somebody that's completely a transformer that just Sarge would not be able to whip into shape at all.
I was going to say Ratchet, but he's not in that kind of like, he's
Yeah,
not in
or
that.
like Gears, who would be grumpy about the whole thing the whole time. You're
Brawn?
bugging me. Braun?
Brawn?
Yeah, Braun, a couple of strong guys, they will beat up everybody. Like they'll just have a
Totally.
contest to see who can punch more bats.
I think that would I would say that it's a difficult one because we're in a similar position here with that Awestriker Bumblebee thing where Meg's and the His Tank, it's not like super smooth, but there's a lot of sense there. It's like two icons coming together and they made it work really well. Bumblebee and the Awestriker is a bit more of a forced kind of, pushing it together kind of thing, especially considering he's transformed into like military jeeps in the past and other things in like the Bay movies and stuff like that, and of course in Bumblebee. So, there were opportunities to do maybe something else with Bumblebee. But although having said that, what is like iconic that makes sense for G.I. Joe and Bumblebee? There's not many things that come to mind.
Right.
So I get the feeling that this one, you could say, yeah, Cup, Ironhide. Ironhide probably more so because he would be more well known. But at
Yeah.
least with and they're very similar. Cup and Ironhide are, I mean, Ironhide felt like Cup felt like Ironhide's replacement anyway, from a
Yeah,
character perspective.
as the older guy, because I remember that was one of Ironhide's early traits was that he was the oldest of the Transformers.
Yeah.
In 1984.
And I felt like that, you know, when the movie came along, it was like one gets, you know, such heroic nonsense.
Yeah.
And the other one is like almost introduced, you know, at that point. So, yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? Like, it's difficult to say, like, what would be a good fit? I've seen a lot of people online saying, like, Grimlock would be a really good Sergeant Slaughter kind of, like, character combination. But Grimlock transforming into a triple T.
Right. That's, you know, what I was just about to say. Maybe Grimlock is a warthog, but as a triple T.
Now we're talking, Pat. Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Warthog crossover. Because again, if they could churn this one out, and they would be like, let's get another Sarge out before, you know, before the time is up.
I'd be okay with that. I mean, as long as it was a different Sarge figure in there, give it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's got to be the Warthog Sarge thrown in there as well. That'd be so awesome.
Now, if they're going to do Sarge, obviously they've had to resculpt everything with these figures. So do you think that we will get the mail-in Sarge as well? Because that would actually be kind of cool to have a mail-in Sarge carded.
Totally. Again, they could. This is what I think. This is where I think the O-ring kind of, you know, line has slipped and not really kind of regained any balance is, yeah, that, you know, they've got these opportunities to do these kind of like I would say like heavy hitters that would just be no brainers, you know, and it doesn't, like, the Sarge hasn't had loads of figures from G.I. Joe in the time since the vintage era to now. It's not like we've been flooded with Sarge figures. So even though it's like, it's not, you know, he's effectively a core character. Do you know what I mean? Like, just not in the same way. It's like you've got a core character group over here, and then you've got just no-brainer characters that are like at the same, even higher levels, but operate in their own, you know, universe a little bit. And he's one of them. He's one that would be like, yeah, that would sell out like that. This crossover is probably going to do really well if it comes out. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's if they did a Warthog Sarge, I'm sure that would do really bloody well as well. And, like, you know, if they incorporated more repaints of the Sarge in the Classified series, I think they'd be instant winners. Like a Marauders one, or a you know, like, or like a Warthog one with a secondary vest or something, you know, that kind of thing. I think That's one of those things that I just think, you know, churn those out. And with the O-ring line, man, we could have had a bunch of Sarges already. Do you know what I mean? And that's, yeah, you know, off, not off one body, because obviously there's different legs, I want to say.
Yeah, yeah, it's different legs. But obviously the head, chest, and arms are the same between the mail-in and the triple T version. So,
but that, I mean,
it's not going to take that much work
money. You'd recoup it so quickly on O-ring figures, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, how many people just would like to have the mail-in Sarge carded? That would look really nice in a collection.
That could have been, you know, mail-in Sarge carded, the Classified figure, and a triple T reissue with the triple T. You know, that makes sense to me.
Is that this would be the triple T? There really wasn't the only carded Sarge in the vintage line was the Slaughter's Marauders.
Marauders, yep.
This one probably won't be carded either because they're not putting them on the card anymore.
I think they are, Pat.
Are they?
Yeah, I think that's continuing.
Well, yeah, but like, oh, that's Stinger,
no,
At
one point they were thinking about that. Obviously, they changed their tack for it. So yeah, Stalker's been carded, and as far as we know, Zarana and Xander.
Oh yeah, okay.
Zartan will be for the Thunder Machine.
Okay, I hope that they are, because that would be like an opportunity for a carded Zartan as well. But yeah, I hope that is the case, because I was thinking of the Stinger driver next to me and remembering, you know, pulling him out of tissue paper or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that some carded Sarge figures would be a hit.
Yeah, I do think that is one thing that I think would have propelled the O-ring line really well, rather than doing the kind of, you know, the things we've had in recent times and recent years? Like, because to me, this is one of those things where we haven't, I feel like there's a balance in getting something that's just going to, that's going to hit hard. Sometimes it's obvious, and sometimes you kind of look at it and go, you know, throw a little bit of interest in there, a little bit of quirkiness, a little bit of something we haven't had for a while. And I guarantee that's gonna be the driving force. And I feel like this, the driving full force. And I feel like this would have been it for the O-ring. I think a reissued Triple T with Sarge would have gone down like a... But then again, maybe they held back on that because they wanted to, maybe they had it in their mind to do the crossover with the Transformers line. So yeah, maybe that's the case.
I know what they need to do, though, is they need to finally seal the deal and just make that O-ring Rocky figure that we would have gotten a long time ago.
Absolutely.
Make it happen.
Let's do that. Let's get Sylvester Stallone on the next live stream. Amazing. Well, anyway, that's the Sarge and the Triple T. Like I said, it's only at this stage a little bit of a rumor from the Sarge himself. So, you know, take it as you will at this point. But like I said, I do feel like this would be very early on in the process. So Anyway, next up then, Pat. To finish off the news, it's been so much. My God, this is a big episode already. Let's get stuck into our classified news, shall we?
Yes.
I was gonna press the video, and then I thought I'm just gonna wait. I'm gonna see how long Pat takes to respond to this, or if he's expecting me.
And it's like there's no music. He expects me to say something. Yeah. Now. So let's get.
Images have started to circulate on social media of a boxed G.I. Joe classified Target exclusive Python Patrol Crimson Guard. The images show the front, back and one of the sides of the box, giving us our first look at a figure we had expected to join the sub-team after a number of listings were unearthed a few weeks ago. This looks to be the first Target exclusive single box release to use the new non-plastic packaging, not counting Duke and the Ram of course, and features the modified Crimson Guard artwork from Orlando Arocena. The figure renders look really sharp and lean heavily into the vintage figure's Python Patrol deco. What's interesting is that the artwork depicts a red backpack, but it looks like he will be coming with an all-black pack instead, just like the original figure. I might have to get a spare retro CG just to steal his red backpack for this one, because I love how that looks on this wild colour scheme. The accessories look like they have a lot more deco hits as well, with red incorporated into the butt of the rifle and the handles of the bladed weapons. I'm really excited for this, and can't wait for an official reveal. Fingers crossed we see a few more of these very soon as well. I'm looking at you, Tiger Force Dusty and or Flint.
Yes, I am looking at you guys. Yeah, a couple of things to kind of point out there. Obviously, the original Python Patrol Crimson Guard, as I did say in there, does come with a black backpack. So, in my head, for some reason, I feel like the red backpack would just be really good with this one. So...
Wasn't that last week?
Could have been.
On the live. I think so. If it wasn't last week, it was a week before. You know,
yeah, I remember you saying it. I remember you talking about it. Yeah, definitely in the past, 100%. I think, you know, we've obviously got the retro Crimson Guard coming out, which has that red backpack. So I like the thought of maybe grabbing one for that particular purpose and just seeing how it looks on this one. It might even be one of those things where it's a different red to the red that's on there, which, you know, I don't think it's going to be that noticeable, but we'll see. I'm going to definitely try that out. That said though, the original came with a black backpack, so it's not like it's, you know, it's not weird or anything. What are your thoughts though, Pat, first on the leaks of this particular one?
Probably the thing that stands out the most to me is the visor painted red, you know, the red line.
Yeah.
I think that's a great choice because the fact that, on the original figure, you know, it's not painted. I guess I should say on the original Python figure, it's not painted, just to be clear with what I'm saying. But on the original Crimson Guard, it is painted silver. So it almost felt like, you know, that was a spot where they reduced some deco to make up for all the additional deco on the Python process for the original Python Crimson Guard, who I usually just call Python Guard because
Yeah.
Python Crimson Guard, where's the crimson? Is it just, you know, in that little hit of red? Yeah, and I don't know. I don't know that the art really means that they were ever intending on having the backpack.
No.
Because like we talked before, the art for Outback's bandana, when they changed that up, they did not change the color of his bandana. So I think that sometimes when they're altering the art, they just kind of skip over some spots. And honestly, in that spot, if they had added black, it just might not have looked as good as far as the art goes.
I think that might have been a thing from the artist. They might have utilized the red coloring on there just to kind of, yeah, like to kind of make it pop a little bit and show it off.
Well, the other art, does it have it red in the original Crimson Guard art, or is it black?
Like that's a very good point. That is a very good point. One that I am not prepared at all to comment on. I should always have Justin's General Joe's Reborn classified super page open for these things, because I feel like I know it's funny. Like I love the classified line and I get every single figure, but I forget so many details about them. It is unreal.
Yeah, I'm looking at it, and on the original art, it's red.
There you go. That's why.
Which is that's not why. What is in the on the toy. So that's why they probably just left it alone.
Yeah, maybe it was intended originally then to come with a red backpack, and they changed their mind on that.
On the original,
yeah,
release of
on the original Star. Figure. Yeah, it's a little never weird. Noticed that.
Yeah, and I'm not real crazy about the. I know a lot of people love the pegs in the side so they can store some of the accessories. I'm not wild about it. I don't know. Storing a rifle by just plugging into the trigger guard is weird to me.
That feels odd, doesn't it? That doesn't feel right sometimes.
Yeah, and most of the time, especially with this one, I'm not going to be utilizing that. So I'd just rather, for the look of the figure, for that to not be on there.
Just get the old knife out. Cut that out.
But it could be utilized for something. Like maybe somebody could come up with some custom thing that's characteristic of a Crimson Guard to add an additional accessory that goes on there.
Yeah, absolutely. There's another couple of little nods. We've always known that the helicopter, the Aspid, or actually I think it's just a transport copter. I think it was the Aspid. But that is on obviously the original artwork, and now it's on this one as well, which is kind of cool for obvious reasons, because it's not like the artist is gonna use the original artwork, change the colors, and then all of a sudden the helicopters aren't going to be there anymore. So yeah, I like the kind of the continuation of using that. But then the colors, like I know loads of people have such an issue with this figure. And it does make me laugh, because since when has G.I. Joe been practical in any way, shape, or form? There's no practicality to the line in any way, even down to some really minor impractical elements to very solid, what you'd call practical characters. So I feel like the reason for people getting in such a tizzy about the Python Crimson Guard in general has always made me laugh. Like I've always kind of been like, well, you know, it's exactly what it is. It's an absolutely nuts repaint. I've definitely warmed to the more crazy aspects in later life, but I remember loving things like Cobra Lara as a kid and loving all of the other stupid ridiculous stuff that was incorporated in the cartoon. I mean, the cartoon is bonkers, so like I never really see the trying to force real world things into this sometimes. It just kind of makes me think, well, you're talking about a line that has a Night Force team with glow in the dark stickers on their vehicles. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Yeah. I think that things get bogged down whenever they are required to be a little more real. And it just kind of takes the fun out of it. It's not meant to be real. I don't think that it's been meant to be exactly real, you know, all the way back from 1982 or 1964. Not everything was exactly as it was. I mean, maybe in 64, but it diverged well before 82.
And I totally get people not liking the color scheme or the figure itself or whatever, you know, for whatever reason. You know, that's personal opinion and I totally get it. Yet I still feel this is going to be quite a popular figure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so, too. I think that I like this one better than the Viper, definitely better than the Bat.
Yeah. So, yeah, the mold in general or the Python? Oh, you mean the Python versions, don't you, of course? Yeah, I was thinking like the mold in general.
The mold in general, though, I do as well. I like that. I think all around, I like the Crimson Guard better.
Definitely. It is an absolute beauty. So looks like this one is, you know, a definite, we can say. We can also, not reveal, because it's actually been said online elsewhere, but this is actually Kerouac, for those that are wondering. So we now know that this is the internal code word Kerouac, and that means that the other one that we have at hand is Shakespeare, and we know that that's probably, very likely, going to be a Tiger Force release. So what do you think, Pat? Do you think like they're going to go another repaint, or do you think they're going to do something new? What are your thoughts on the next Tiger Force release?
Probably a repaint, I'm assuming, or you know, a pre-paint.
It's hard to have a poker face when you know what's coming, isn't it?
Well, it's these code names get me genuinely get my brain messed up too.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Where,
even though I know of something. I don't connect it to like, oh, I finally Kerouac is going to be coming out.
The other thing as well that has been like, when we first started and we were getting those kind of internal code words, there was an excitement to it, and we were trying to work out who it was, and yeah. They kind of stuck a little bit. Like I remember Dung Beetle for Duke was quite one that stuck in a funny way. Tarantula for Snake Eyes, Scorpion for Storm Shadow, and those kind of things. Mountain Lion, I think, was Zartan, I want to say. So, like, you had these, like, and they kind of stick with some of the characters. But now, everything is just ignored. As soon as the figures come out, it's like, get lost. Do you know, like, I've already forgotten every single character name that's been, the internal code word that's been utilized now. I couldn't tell. If someone said, who's this, 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 and this from figures that have come out before, I'd be like, the only one that I do know is because it's on the box, the shipper box, and that's, I think, Amalthea, and that was Serpentor. I don't know how you pronounce that.
That's on the shipper box, yeah. But, I've seen some of those names on the shelf tags at Target, for sure. I've seen those before as well.
I remember that during the Beachhead Cobra Island first... I remember they put them out for the first Cobra Island figures, and we were all going nuts trying to find them. And yeah, oh my god, that was
yeah.
Sucked.
And I'm sure that they have these code names so that when our lists leak, that they can keep track of what things are.
Oh yeah,
but that we're not going to be looking forward to things. But honestly, over the years, I've learned to deal with when our things get canceled. So that's not. That's not as much of a concern, I don't think, as far as my perception of the brand. I don't know. I just kind of wish that they didn't have them.
Yeah, like one thing I will say, though, is I do like the detective aspect of it, of trying to like figure out what's what. Obviously, you need more information, that obviously a lot of the time. But I do I get a funny little buzz out of all this crap. And I know you hate it. And that's why I put these in. It's why I always put these into our news burst stories every single time.
But it's one of those detective things where there was no potential to really figure out a solution. It's
not based on the listing alone. No, 100%.
Right. Exactly. 100%. You just kind of have to find out and start piecing things together and then plugging in the characters that have been revealed to the names. And then the only thing really you can then glean from that is the realization that there are a few slots or additional characters coming that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, definitely. Sorry, this is really funny. Toyman Dan says, Chris, do not play poker, bud. No, I can't. I'm terrible at it. Although, your funny story, I did play poker once years ago when I lived in the UK. I went to a pub with a bunch of friends who were doing like a lock-in, pub lock-in, where it's like after hours, lock the doors, blinds come down, and they keep open for regulars, right, till like the early hours of the morning, mainly because of liquor license laws and things like that. So we call them lock-ins, right? So we went in there and they had this big poker event, right? Bunch of all my friends and everything. Because I do not have a poker face, it worked in my to my advantage, and I ended up winning loads of money, because not loads of money, but you know, for what we were betting on and stuff. But I'm basically winning a whole pot on a couple of tables because people just couldn't play against me because I was just so crap at keeping a poker face. They didn't know where I did have or didn't have the. So it actually worked out for me in that one. So maybe I should play more poker. In actual fact, I won't, because I hate that stuff anyway. I'm crap at it in general. But
all just a setup for you to hustle us later.
Exactly. I'm just hustling you guys. That's all it is. Anyway, oh yeah, sorry. RKW says a pub sells booze for the Yanks. Yes, a drinking establishment, we'll say. But it was a lot of fun. And that was years ago. It's probably I was probably in my late teens, early 20s, maybe even younger than that. God, it was a long time ago. I can't even think. Anyway, enough of that, Pat. Should we get on to shout outs? Because that is kind of where we're at now. And we have gone way over budget in terms of time anyway.
Yes, I think that we should. And I'm just going to sit here, even if you don't run the video. So might as well run it.
Nah.
Hey there guys, just wanted to let you know about an app that I've been helping to develop for a few years now called Hoarder. But what is Hoarder, I hear you scream? Well, a number of years ago I discussed a project with a good friend of mine and now co-owner slash developer about an app that could help collectors of all shapes and sizes. I'm talking about the shapes and sizes of the collections really, but also people. The app would be a place where you could share your new items, build collections and sub-collections, or just browse the feed to see cool things. Well, we made it. We tested it for a number of years, and now it's out there for you to enjoy on iOS or Android devices. You can upload a single item at a time at your own pace and slowly build your collections. You can post status updates that could be related to your collections, like getting a delivery or posting a scene in which you can tag items in that image if you've uploaded them in the past. You can add tags to your items in order to easily search for and find them, and of course to add them into your respective collections. You can like posts, comment on them, or start a conversation with a fellow collector, directly message users you follow, and even add items you see on your feed to your want list. If you prefer to use your computer or laptop, have no fear, you can use the website browser version and even utilize the awesome inventory option, allowing any user to change certain details, add notes, upload bulk items from spreadsheet files, and download a CSV of your entire itemized collection. We made this app for collectors, and we hope that you enjoy using it as much as we enjoyed creating it. Now get to hoarding.
Yay! Straight away, Matt O'Brien, thank you very much, dude, again. Has just thrown it in the Chris. Any idea when we're getting a Joe live stream event? I feel like we are long overdue and I need my fix from Emily Lennon Lilloni. Lol. That's really difficult to say, actually, especially when you put lol at the end as well. That's a tongue twister and a half. Matt, thank you so much again for your super chat. We really appreciate it. No clue officially, but I imagine sooner rather than later, because we've had an Indiana Jones one. We've had a Power Rangers one. There's been a Marvel kind of thing. Has there been any? There's been. So I just imagine it's on the docket pretty soon, Matt. What would you say, Pat, to that?
Yeah, I think it's overdue. And there's a lot of good stuff coming up for G.I. Joe and a lot of leaks. I think they could have gotten ahead of some of the leaks had they had a live event. But maybe that's why we're seeing some things, is that the actual pipeline is moving, but they've not done any pipeline reveals. And that Indiana Jones panel, there was some good news in there. That was a good one. That live stream for Indiana Jones was good.
Yeah, it was great, wasn't it? So again, like I expect it very soon, Matt, honestly, based on the fact that these always come in groups. Like there's always like, you know, it's like they're doing the whole live stream marketing thing. Hasbro is spreading it out on purpose. They're not just, you know, dumping everything in the same week. So it's just a matter of, you know, being patient. And we know it's coming. Have you seen the blooming leak listings? Of course it's coming. We're going to be getting information soon. So, yeah, it's definitely one of those things where I expect sooner rather than later. Diana Davis, hello. I actually once played poker with a guy named Bandit who only had one arm, like a casino all in one. That's brilliant. That's amazing that you have that story. Also, shout out to Diana. I don't want to embarrass you on this one, Diana, in any way, shape, or form. But we just wanted to kind of say to you and Cullen, who are going through a bit of a rough period at the moment, we just wanted to shout you out. We were going to do it in the shout outs anyway, and just say that we've got a link in the description for a GoFundMe, because they are in a bit of a crappy scenario at the moment, Diana. And obviously we want you to get well soon, obviously with the, you know, all that kind of stuff. We just wanted to basically say that to you, and you've kind of instigated it by commenting there at that moment. So
it's a nice segue. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you've segued into yourself there, Diana. And we just want to say we love you very much. And like I said, you know, if anyone wants to support and help out, the link is in the description for you. And yeah, Pat, I know you wanted to make a shout as well. So
yeah.
Yeah, that's like I said, don't want to embarrass you or anything, Diana, but yeah, big shout out. And, you know, like all those, we hope all that stuff gets sorted very, very much. Okay. Oh, good. I'm glad. I'm not embarrassed. I'm humbled by how kind people have been. Awesome. RKW Hart, Diana Davis. Thank you very much, RKW. Really appreciate that, bud, as well. Yeah, absolutely. Matt, and so, yeah, there you go. I didn't want to know how to approach it either, because, again, like, I don't want to kind of, like, blow it up and be like, Diana Davis, and, you know, make you feel, you know, worse. So, thank you very much for letting us know on that one as well, Diana. And yeah, like I said, I hope everything gets sorted soon. And I hope, like I said, GoFundMe, link in the description if you want to help out there, guys, okay? What else have we got going on? Matt says, sorry, that was that one. Matt says, the Joe streams last year were far better than any other line. And that was because of the chemistry and how fun the streams were. Definitely. I enjoy it. In the past, it has been some of the cases with some of the live streams. There's been a little bit of like, it's a bit cringy sometimes, or a little bit kind of like, you know, I don't know, like going through the motions. But definitely with this team, since they started doing it together, they've been great. I've really enjoyed them. So definitely on that one. Okay, let's get to shout outs, shall we, Pat? Even though we've kind of gotten there already. Who's your second one now, I should say?
Yes, my second shout out this week will be to Philip.
Hey.
As always.
As always.
My partner there on Articulated Points, which I actually haven't done much of a video there in a little while, but it's been good because I've been doing some collection organization with my spare time. And so I kind of feel good about, I'm going to want to get back into it this year. It's going to be fun.
Definitely. I can't wait to see even more from you guys, in actual fact. It's one of those things that I get excited when you guys post a new video, because I know that's what I'm doing for the next 15 to 30. Like, that's what's going to happen. Or however long the videos are. No, totally, man. I love it. And I love the info drops. There's always so much knowledge in there, and I love that. It's always really interesting. Guys, if you haven't checked out Articulated Points yet, go do it. Link in the description on their YouTube channel. There are some absolute beauties on there. I just want new stuff all the time, new old stuff, because obviously you're covering a lot of old vintage lines and all that kind of stuff. But that's why I want to see this information out there, because sometimes I'll watch one and I'll be like, I had no idea of that ever. And I would say I'm pretty in when it comes to, like, you know, deep with a lot of this stuff. So yeah, that's, it's always eye opening.
Yeah, sometimes me too. You know how it is. You start looking at these things, and sometimes you find out stuff, and it's you become surprised at some of the information that you're putting together as you're putting together a video. But then Philip, when he puts together something, that's where I am just a viewer as well, and it's amazing.
Absolutely. Also, RKW says Sky Striker is shipped next week. Ugh, crazy, isn't it?
Yes.
Crazy.
Yeah, I wonder how long it's going to take mine to arrive. It just feels like anything lately that I've been getting shipping notices on, There's always something that happens that it doesn't show up right away for whatever reason.
Yeah. You kind of in a well, you're in a like being in like that kind of area of the world of the US.
Yeah.
I suppose it kind of hits ports, doesn't it? And kind of comes in a little bit.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, I don't know. There, it's a little weird, but it's because it's also not far from what they consider the Midwest, which is one of the hottest areas for test marketing too.
And yeah,
there have been a couple of times where G.I. Joe stuff shows up here first, which is weird, but it only happens a couple of times.
Totally. Totally. Anyway, that is Phil's shout out. That's all you get, mate. Like a 20-minute articulated points and Philip shout out every single time. Shout out to the fam. Love you very much, mom and dad in the UK and the family in the UK, obviously everyone in there and obviously in the US. And to my lovely wife, Kate, and of course, little Phoebes. I'm actually, this backdrop is actually it was a gift. The actual backdrop itself, but the thing that it's on is like one of those green screen things. So shout out to Drew and Ree who bought me that for, I think it was from my birthday. I think it was. Yeah. So big shout out to those guys for doing that. It's kind of cool, isn't it? I like it. I like having a little backdrop in there. I know it's been there for ages, but my birthday was also in November. So that's where we share that one, Pat. Anyway, shout out to all the fam. Love you guys very much. And on to the next thing, which is Brian, the next thing. thanks, Brian. He actually just sent me a bunch more kind of graphics and stuff just as we've been talking. So thank you very much, bud, for all the hard work that you do for the show. We really appreciate all of it. And of course, our wonderful graphics at the moment, too. Also want to shout out Channing Tatum. Now, this is like a funny one because I've seen like, you know, people so angry with Channing Tatum for kind of coming out and being so like derogatory about, you know, Rise of Cobra and not wanting to do the movie. And I think it was like he said something along the lines of they had to ask him 7 times. And then in the end, they forced him to do it because they had an option on his contract. So, you know, I can see why he's bitter and a little bit like upset about it. But it came out in this Vanity Fair interview, kind of more of the details about it. And he begged to be killed off in the second movie. But like I've seen loads of people like really upset about this. And I kind of think, well, I don't know, like it just because, I mean, they had a bad experience. This guy had a bad experience on it. You know, like what can you say? He's not going to have positive things to say about it, is he? Do you know what I mean? Like, how do you feel about it?
Well, I think we already kind of knew this. I think that when a retaliation was happening, there were some rumors that that was the reason behind it. I didn't really see this as news, and it's interesting to me that it's kind of making the rounds. Maybe yeah, it's just one of those things where we're so focused on G.I. Joe that I'd heard about this before, and maybe it just hadn't been as public in things like Variety, you know, because there was a Variety article as well.
Yeah.
It's also interesting to me that there's a little bit of conflicting numbers on it, because I heard that it was like 5 times and 7 times. And
it's probably been exaggerated over the years, hasn't it?
Well, Variety says that he tried to not act in the movie 12 times. But, you know, we've seen the movie and he was in the movie and managed to not act throughout the whole thing.
How long have you had that one in the chamber? That is a beauty.
I was setting that one up.
Oh my god, that is absolutely that's the best thing we've ever done. We've just peaked, Pat. We've just peaked. Everything is downhill from now on. That is unbelievable. I can't believe you sucked me right into that one as well. And I'm like, oh yeah, this yeah, interesting. And then that was just brilliant. Anyway, amazing. Yeah. I mean, the funny thing is, it's not just him either, is it? It's like Christopher Eccleston was really
anti the movie. Sienna Miller, actually.
Sienna Miller was, yeah.
Didn't want to talk about it anymore. And yeah, I guess that's part of the problem. You know, that movie was kind of, it came about also, there was the writer's strike.
Yeah.
At the time that affected it. And I would imagine with a writer's strike, they probably were scrambling to get a cast. And so they were just pulling things from people who they had contracts with.
Yeah, totally. No, I
agree. So, yeah, I really can't blame him. And he, maybe I'm a little harsh, but there are moments of that movie where he was phoning it in a bit.
Oh, you could see the phone in his hand at times. It's,
especially there's that one scene where the Joes have realized that, you know, Destro isn't one of the good guys. And, you know, like, honestly, the person who I think kind of did do pretty well as far as performances goes is Marlon Wayans. He was actually pretty good, you know, and he's delivering the, oh man, you know, I can't believe that, you know, that he would do that. And Tatum is just like, Colin. He doesn't have much emotion about it at all. He's like, McCollin. I don't know. That's the moment that I get a chuckle out of it every time, because it almost feels like it was a pickup shot, or I don't know. It's a pretty bad moment in the movie, but
it really was.
But not to say that I don't enjoy it, because I also actually received a bit of something from the movie this week.
Brilliant. Just absolutely brilliant. Also, we should get Paddy on to talk about it, because it's his favorite movie by the sounds of things. also, Peppermint All Capsule. We got Sarge on tonight in 8.5 hours. Check out Sergeant Slaughter Slaughterhouse and Slaughter Door to YouTube channels. Yojo, full force. Thank you, Peppermint. And also, I know that was supposed to be a super chat, and I know you sent me another super chat, so I appreciate that. And I probably would have read that out anyway, but I appreciate it very much. Thank you very, very, very much. Oh yes, that was a good one, Talking Joe. What was interesting was he said he loved G.I. Joe as a brand from his youth, but hated the script, which is fair. Yeah, I mean, that's got to suck if you're an actor and you're really passionate about it, and then it's like, what can I do with this? Like, this got to be quite disheartening.
Yeah, and even like watching the commentary on the disc, you can see Stephen Sommers mention that some of the effects he wasn't happy with. You know, the movie came together, but I don't really think that anybody was that excited about the result. And that's unfortunate. The toys, though,
were amazing. Great line. Rise of Cobra line has some absolute bangers. Plus, they were developing the tech a little bit. Like, they'd kind of like ironed out a lot of really cool engineering aspects with the figures, hadn't they, as well? And introducing new kind of elements there as well. It's so good.
Yeah. They took the experience they had from those early 25th figures, and you could really tell that they bumped it up a lot, especially even like the gap in between joints, the range of motion on the joints. Just as far as a quality action figure goes, that line was full of them.
Yeah. anyway, sorry. Loads. I know you've got loads of comments, guys. We're not going to be able to keep up with all of it, unfortunately. And also, this is the longest shout-out for anyone ever in a shout-out segment, I think. So shout-out to Channing Tatum. He needs the exposure, really, doesn't he? I'm just kidding. I'm also like, again, like, it doesn't really bother me. Like, I
I'm not bothered by it either.
Like, and I don't mind, you know, I know people hate Christopher Eccleston because of what he said about his kind of role in the film. But again, like, you know, these, you can't expect everyone to be like super fans of this stuff. Like, a lot of them are doing it under completely different reasons, you know, like, and a lot of them, it's a money aspect, isn't it? So, Yeah, I mean,
I really liked that casting choice for Eccleston. That I was excited about that.
It felt good, didn't it, at the time
as Destro? Yeah,
yeah, it did feel good at the time. Anyway, shout out to Channing. We'll have to get him on the show and do an interview. How fun would that be? Imagine getting Channing Tatum and talking to him about it, the details of it, because I think that would be interesting to know.
Showing what I just said.
Pat's ill today for some reason, Channing. Sorry. No, that's funny. I kind of want to speak to him about it, though. I think that'd be great. I want to speak to all of them about it. I want to hear all the details.
Yeah, I don't blame them for being upset. I really don't.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Colonel Ping. Hey, Cully, happy Saturday to you as well, buddy. Anyway, next up, don't forget, launching next week, January the 28th, is the Action Force The Battle Years soft cover Kickstarter. So if you missed this first edition and you're really regretting it, you'll be able to get another opportunity to get on board with a soft cover, and it's launching at Dublin City Comics and Collectibles from 2 to 5. There will be Paddy and Brian, the creators, will be there to sign books, to show off cool, interesting Action Force related things, and basically just chat with people who come into the store. So make sure you're there on January the 28th if you want to meet the lads, which would be awesome. So yeah, that's fantastic. And yes, I did a Tiger Force Rikondo unboxing in the week as well, since our last weekly. So check that out. It's just me messing around with this beautiful figure. Absolute beauty. And I'm really, I don't know, I love some of the most recent classified figures. You know, just, oh, I'm just surrounded by it. It's amazing. So yeah, hopefully I'll have another unboxing soon. We'll have to wait and see what comes out. I know the Retro Snake Eyes, Retro Crimson Guard are probably not far from coming into my possession, I guess. So we'll see how that goes. But anyway, and also a massive shout out to obviously our listeners, our viewers, all of you guys in the comments. Thank you so much for an extremely long show today. Sorry, Pat. Sorry to everyone watching that had to put up with us this entire time. Buddy, thank you for jumping on, dude. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having me again. It's always fun.
And thanks again for that absolutely stunning Channing Tatum joke, which will probably get clipped up, and that's why we'll never be able to get Channing Tatum on the show. That's the reason.
Yeah, that's why. He was going to be on next week. Sorry, everybody.
Amazing. Thanks again, guys, to everyone. We will be back next week, of course. I'll be back with, I think this in between, we're going to have obviously Newsburst Extras dropping. I've got the Brian Flynn interview hopefully dropping in the next couple of days. And the other thing I wanted to say is I'm trying to work out when the next Q&A for our patrons is going to be, but that might be pretty soon. So keep an eye on the Patreon page for details on that one. Guys, thank you so much. Thanks to all our Super Chat guys as well. Really appreciate that as well. You know, it's great for all the support. We can't thank you enough. That's it then, mate. You know what to do at the end of these episodes. After 3, you know, all know what you have to do. And of course, I ain't pressing that button until I start seeing it come through. After 3, 1, 2, 3.
Full force.
Oh, they've already come. Great. People are getting ahead of this now because they just want it to end. Take care. See you on the next one. Peace. Bye.
Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing and commenting on these videos. And as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheFullForce. And if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback and questions. We also have a Patreon page, so if you want to show your support for the show, see your name up in lights on these videos, or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/TheFullForcePodcast or click on the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force.